There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. 343-0106. Get you through for a phone call or a text. And you can always leave us a message using the TalkBack system on the FM Talk 106.5 app. See that microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, without further ado, it's Thursday, and my man, Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com joins us. How about it?
Doing fine. How are y'all doing?
Man, we're doing good. It's on the precipice of another weekend here. It's October. It's a good thing. And it is the start of it. Do you feel it in the air, the start of a new fiscal year? Can you just feel it?
Yeah. You know, that's what I always think about is, you know the end of one year of government money and the beginning of a new one. It's something that's very heavy on my heart and my mind this midday here.
Yeah, you have to sit.
So I'm glad to know that there's somebody else who feels the same.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We toll the bell and do all those things. October 1st, to start the new fiscal year. Speaking of which, so here's the segue. This story, y'all talked about it a bunch. We talked about it a ton on this station. The Shark Alert system for Alabama. It's now what they passed through here. I pointed out to folks that with heart for Lulu, I can't imagine. I got a daughter. I can't imagine how you would feel. But a young lady that got shark attack in Florida waters, and a law that was brought by members of the legislature from Mountain Brook that only has to be enforced in Mobile and Baldwin County. So get this right, the Lulu Gribben Shark Alert System is now the law.
That's right. That went into effect on yesterday. It was passed into law in May with some unanimous support from both chambers of the legislature. And this would create sort of an Amber Alert style of a notification that would go out in the event of a confirmed unprovoked shark attack. That's the key here. The first draft of the bill had something called unusual shark activity.
That's when the shark playing a saxophone would be unusual.
Shark playing a saxophone, shark riding the wave bus downtown, there would be an alert that went out for that. But that is gone. That is gone now. We just have for a case of a confirmed unprovoked shark attack. And I've tried to get some information on where we are on this. And Chris Blankenship, the head of the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, which is going to run this thing, told me that they're still working on how they're going to confirm the reports. And they're also still working on the budget for this thing.
Yeah, did they allocate, like when they passed this, did they allocate the money to do it? Because I asked a lot of questions of Chris and others when this was passed. I'm like, early on, I'm like, what are y'all supposed to do? Not everybody knew what they were supposed to do to make this thing happen. Like, is it
right?
Do they have to have a create an app? Do they have to where the cost in here?
Right. Well, the costs were not in there. I went back and looked at the fiscal note that was on this legislation, and it said that This law, if passed, would raise an undetermined amount of costs for the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. So it's pretty much a blank check to get this thing up and running. And, of course, they'll have to work with the EMAs in Mobile and Baldwin counties. They'll have to work with the sheriffs, the police departments, everybody who touches, you know, the Gulf, or I believe there's a part of the bay that's in that's in there, too. That fiscal notes that the cost could go up across the board to get this thing going.
So this is – so the responsibility is DCNR, right? And then working right. with Mobile and Baldwin County emergency folks. That's the – is that the tree, the response? Okay.
Right.
No – so it has to be just money that comes from state coffers. There's no, like – no subscription fee to this, right? So it's going to be paid for by the undetermined money is going to come out of the general fund right. somewhere.
Right, right. That's what I believe so far. Like Chris Blankenship said, they're still trying to figure all of those things out. There could be, I don't know, there probably could be some federal grants or something, or maybe some kind of source of money, but those things are not clear at this time. Then this alert won't go into effect until spring break of the coming year. So they've got some time to do it, to figure it out, and to where it doesn't cause, like, panic. That was definitely something I heard from state lawmakers early on, was they were worried about, you know, this thing clearing the beaches at the site of mm-hmm. the shark.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they can be able to work out some of the kinks here to where it can actually do what they want it to do and, you know, keep other people from being bitten or fatally hurt by sharks.
Well, yeah, I wonder about this too. If you look at, so the attack took place in the state of Florida, right?
Right.
Lulu. And we have, first, so it's there. And I'm looking at Florida. We have 68 miles of coastline here is what we have.
Yes.
Florida has 8,436 miles of coastline. That is all right. places where sharks live because it's where they live. That's a shark. Right. It's a shark house.
Right.
They don't have this in effect in Florida, even though with 68 miles of shoreline, we do here. I don't right. know. I think it's just, it's interesting. I mean, you think it's going to be, you know, maybe a negative for tourism. I mean, maybe that's why Florida didn't do it, but we did. I don't know. It's just, it stands out to me.
Right. No, I'm not sure what they're doing in Florida on this. I do remember that the Alabama Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, you know, actually called the equivalent in Florida and told him to get some similar stuff going. But there has been an effort to create a national shark notification system by Katie Britt. In the summer, I believe that was going into the Senate, so that still has a ways to go. But we could be seeing more of these things. It just depends. But definitely come spring break, there should be some kind of shark alert system in effect. And interestingly, we've only had 10 reports of unprovoked shark attacks in the state since 1837. I believe was the figure that I found.
I mean, so, yeah. I mean, the logic. This is emotion, and I get. And like I said, I feel for that family for Lulu. I feel for them.
Absolutely.
I get that. But I've said so many times. Look at the number of car accidents that happen on the way to go to the water where the shark could be.
Right.
That seems like a bigger danger.
Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, just anything.
Yeah.
You know the. If you leave your home in somewhere in northern Baldwin County or northern Mobile or anywhere in Mobile County, you're driving down the coast, the danger you face to get to the beach to go in the water, I think would be I think we need a warning for that. I don't know how you do it, but it's out there.
Yep, I don't know either.
Hey, while we're on DCNR Commissioner Chris Blankenship, which, by the way, he'll be on the show next week, y'all, but he makes it into two of your stories. First of all, the shark alert story, mm-hmm. and then he is... being sued, which right. by the way, yeah, he's in multiple, like I know this Fox thing on Dauphin Island, the state is now in that lawsuit, and now he's being now Maws is suing Blankenship over the Big Creek Lake
he
access.
He is a popular guy.
Yeah.
So he is a real popular guy these days.
So Maws finally, I guess, got off the pot here last week, and, you know, they're pursuing prosecution against a person who's been on the show. They're doing the fencing. They're doing this stuff. And they're suing the head of ADCNR. So this is like a big week for them.
Right, yeah. And they are suing him because of a statement that he made, I believe it was earlier this year, that Big Creek Lake is a publicly accessible, navigable waterway.
And he was just citing state code, correct? He wasn't. I mean, he had. Yeah, he was just saying, here's what the state code says.
Right, right. But Moz, on the other hand, says, you know, they have a different section of state code that they are drawing from here and say that when the legislature created Moz in the 50s, they created Moz as a water system, and the Big Creek Lake that they dammed up would be covered by that water system designation and would not necessarily be a public body of water. That's where they're coming from here. With two different sections of state law to enforce both sides of this case.
Yeah, so I guess this ends up at the Alabama Supreme Court, I would guess.
I could see that going down. They've sued him in a Montgomery County Circuit Court, and I could see it going all the way to the Supreme Court where it becomes like a legal question.
Yeah, because you have two laws that say something different, right? I mean, from your report here, it sounds it's going to be interesting there. And I wonder, you know, the follow-on effects here, if let's say that they decide that the law that Moz is talking about, that supersedes the other law that Chris Blankenship quoted from the state, then I guess other municipalities could see that as a green light to do the same thing. If now we have new precedent, other water systems, not municipality, but water systems could shut down their, access to their water, where they get their water from.
Right. That could happen. I am not a lawyer here, even though we are, probably need to be getting the Lanyap School of Law going with all these court case stories we've been doing. However this thing goes, it definitely will have an effect on, what these systems do with, the lakes that their dams get power from or that they use for their water supplies.
I do wonder, too, let's add it. A new person enters the chat that it was Representative Stringer and some others, I think, at end of session last year were pushing something legislatively. He has told me that he will do it again in this new session. So maybe another law gets passed on top of these two that right now seem to be incongruous, they don't make they don't say the same thing.
Right. Yeah. So just a third law that maybe could provide some clarity here. We'll have to wait and see for that.
Okay.
Three's company.
For sure. And then we just throw them all up and figure out which law we want to go with. All right. Well, we're talking about complex stuff here. This thing, from when I first heard about this last week till the vote on Tuesday by Mobile City Council and other municipalities out there, I was like, are we this bad at passing a law in Montgomery and letting the people it affects know what they have to do? It seems like a theme here. But this is this rush to put a 10-cent tax on, vape products in Mobile? Because didn't do it in Mobile, the state got the money. Can you explain this to me?
Right. So there was a law passed back in the session earlier this year that created a 10-cent tax on every milliliter of vaping fluid sold. Now, I'm not someone who vapes, but I believe I've been told that these packages of juice, for lack of a better word, can get up to like 100 milliliters per package. So that'd be a $10 tax. But this tax was created and they gave cities and counties the option to pass their own versions of the tax by October of 2025, where they would get all of the proceeds from this, or they could choose not to pass one and receive like a pro rata portion based on the population of the proceeds that go to the state. So the message from the city on Tuesday was, hey, we know it's a last-minute thing, but we need to pass this right now so that we can get the most money from this tax as opposed to just getting, you know, whatever scraps come from it from Montgomery.
Yeah.
But it definitely was something that caught, like, Ben Reynolds by surprise, for one. He was very upset that this was a law passed months ago, and we're just now hearing about it here, and it's a new tax.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing, too, here, because if the state didn't do this law, I don't think you would have had the city of Mobile decide to put this tax in place, right? I mean, it's the state saying, we're going to tax this. Whether y'all like it or not, we're going to be collecting this tax in Mobile. Yeah. But if you'll play ball with us and give us some, then you get the money, all the money, because you passed it at the municipal level. I don't. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Right. And it's definitely strange because until Tuesday, I'd heard no discussion of any kind of tax on vaping products in the city of Mobile. It's not something that I believe was on their radar until it just kind of popped up here at the last minute. I've not heard from vape shop owners and people in the city on this yet. It doesn't go into effect until October of 2026. So there's a year where the city could kind of look at it and see if this is something they still want to do. I've been told that the city does not believe it'll be a huge generator of revenue, so it could go away. They could decide to undo the ordinance, but
the tax, that's the thing. Well, that's why I think this is so precarious, though. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, because it's not like if Mobile says, we're not going to keep this tax on the books, we're going to let it go away, that the tax will still be collected. It's not like...
Right.
So even if the city of Mobile or whatever, anywhere, municipality in Alabama says we're not going to add this new tax, but then the state takes the same tax. It's not like you can.
Yeah.
I mean,
sidestep it. Yeah.
Way to go, Montgomery. All right.
Thanks, Montgomery.
Yeah, thanks, Montgomery. Okay. You can read more about these stories and daily news over at landyapmobile.com. Here's Kyle to tell you how to get signed up.
Go to our website, lanyapmobile.com. We have a little button you can press that says subscribe, and we have a fine range of options for you to choose from. If you need some help, give us a call, and we will help get you signed up.
New issue out on the streets now. What cover are they looking for? What's on there?
So we're a week late here. You know, we had a printer difficulty, and so we've got the news. You know that there's a new mayor for Mobile, right?
You don't say.
So we've got a profile with him. I talked to him to just kind of reflect on, you know, what the campaign trail was like and kind of how he's feeling going into this new office for Spiro Chirigaitis, the mayor-elect of Mobile. His face is on the cover, and it is out on the streets as we speak.
Good stuff. Y'all pick up a copy and check him out online. And, Kyle, we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
All right. There goes Kyle Hamrick from LandYap, LandYapMobile.com, and we'll be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Right there where the open light is on right now. You can stop on in corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. Online at adventure-earth.com. And like I said, if you've been thinking about these e-bikes, right, you've got the interest in them. He has, if you go to his website, it's got like an e-bike buyer's guide. You can kind of go through and see what different options are out there and why you'd pick one over the other. Pretty good education. Now you can get an even better education when you go see Clint in person at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Like when I went years ago to get mine, he had different models. He wanted me to ride, test ride, you know, knowing that I was going to use it off-road. He's like, okay, this one's good. This one's like that one. It's really good that you get to, like, test ride this one, find the one that's right for you. And this time of year, too, a lot of people are thinking about e-bikes for the woods. Oh, yeah, he's got them in. He's got a shipment in of the Fat Tire e-bikes for hunting season. He's got the Mach Wheel, so that's the company, Mach Wheel. They're Obsidian 2.0 with the 750-watt motor. It's Fat Tire hunting e-bike, full suspension, in camo. Plus, from Denago, he has their Fat Tire e-hunt in Army Green, or OD Green and Black for hunting season. New shipment of shotgun and rifle holders are there as well. So people always say, how do you carry stuff on the bike? Listen, y'all, you can get holders for your guns, for your bow. You can have a holder on there for a handgun, water bottle, cell phone, plus panniers that go over the back tires. So if you need to carry gear in the woods, I get it. You put that stuff in there and cruise through the woods silently. So he's got those in stock right now, and he's ready to outfit you with the bicycle and then anything else you want to put on it. Go see him in person. Like I said, Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Ruth's Chris. Or if you want to see what he's doing right now, what he's all about, online, maybe while you're doing something else, adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. All right, to the text line here. Let me, we're going back. Let's see. Lori says, homicides in Alabama in 2023, 524. Suicides in Alabama in 2023, 869. How many shark attacks? I think 2023, I don't have the stats in front of me, Lori, I would say zero. This has been and it's one of these, how dare you speak out against it, right? Because you're going to be seen as like, you don't care about Lulu. I care about children. My heart breaks. I got a daughter that I could imagine how I'd feel after that happened. But still, this is just misallocation. The things the government should be doing. But it passed, y'all. It's the law is the law. This is why we talked about it the whole time it was in session. It still went through. Jimmy in Bay Minette says, who's going to confirm that it was an unprovoked shark attack? Who's going to interview the shark? How come we only have to take one side of the story? Well said. All right, coming right back after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and a good time to check in right before the weekend here with my buddy Blaine Price. He is at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And we're going to talk tractors in a second, but first up, man, you were telling me I guess it was Tuesday, how stacked y'all were with skid steers.
We are. We got plenty of skid steers in all different sizes in stock right now, Sean. Really good financing rates on those. We got all the attachments as well. So if you're looking, they all come with standard buckets on them. But if you're looking for some attachments, whether it be augers, post drivers, brush cutters, mulchers, pallet forks, grapples, we've got all that in stock right now to go with them. We've even got trailers to haul them as well. So we can form it up into a package for you. We don't just sell tractor packages. We sell, skid steer, mini excavator packages. We've got plenty of mini excavators as well in all different sizes, enclosed cab, open cab, financing rates, same on those as well.
Tell you what, speaking of like putting packages together, we've talked for a while about the rental department there and people, whether you're doing a backyard project, y'all got equipment for that, you're, doing stuff around the house, the farm, but you also got this for renting equipment for hunting camps and people getting together. I think this is perfect. Not only the tractor, but you put it together. Y'all got a hunter's rental special. What is this?
We do. So we got a hunter's rental special. It's a tractor package special. For our guys looking to go to the deer camps, plant the food plots, you get the tractor, the trailer. You can choose between a disc or a tiller, a spreader, and a bush hog.
Everything you need.
Got really good. That's right. Everything you need to go plant the food plots. And we're running our special right now as well on the weekends. Pick it up on Fridays after lunch. Bring it back to us by Monday at 10 a.m. As long as you keep less than 10 hours on the machine, you'll only be charged for one day, and that goes for everything in rental. That's not just tractors. That's anywhere from handheld power tools up to the bigger excavators and dozers and So it's with everything in rental, you get that one day charge as long as you keep less than 10 hours on it.
Okay, so let me picture this. So if I do this, I show up. You said trailer, so it's already. You got the tractor, you got the bush hog, the tiller or the disc on there, the PTO spreader. It's all like I just back up and hook up and go.
Back up, hook up, and go. We got it all loaded, ready to go. If you don't have a truck or able to haul it, we can. We do have trucks that will haul them to you, deliver them, and then come back pick them up on Monday. So, or if you want to keep it, we don't just do weekend or daily rentals. We do weeks, month rentals, whatever. Whatever's in, whatever the job has for you, we work with you, and we'll make it happen.
Okay, I like it a lot. Blaine, people want to get with you in person. How do they find you, and then online?
We're right here at Parrish Track in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. You can come by see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171, or you can visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Hey, thanks, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, let's get to it. I want to get some text in here. They are stacked up, so let me work through these. Daniel in Foley says, unusual shark activity alerts. Some dumb arse, not from a coastal county, came up with that idea. Well, out of Mountain Brook. Right? Mountain Brook, the way they say it. And listen, I'll read through the rest of Daniel's text. I understand, the emotion of it. This little girl got attacked by the shark. You feel horrible. I get that part. I don't gloss over that. It's put it in parlance. It sucks. But is it enough of a thing to start the state paying money for an alert? Obviously, people... I talked about the whole way when it was still, when the concrete wasn't dry and it was in session and it still got through. But okay, go back to Daniel said, what DA from a non-coastal county came up with that idea. I will block that alert immediately when it starts. If a shark starts walking up 59, then you can call that unusual. Yeah, we had our favorite unusual shark activities. The fountain at Bel Air Mall, unusual. Dan Brennan's classic, shark playing a saxophone, unusual shark activity. But they took that part out. And just said unprovoked shark attack. So it's not, they changed, that was the initial reading. Remember, it was so ridiculous. It's still questionable, but it's maybe not as ridiculous now. Daniel goes on to say, I want to see a law passed that texts everyone in the Birmingham and Montgomery every time there's unusual gun activity. Texter says, how do you provoke a shark? What is unprovoked shark attack? People get a kick out of me when I say this, but this is how I taught my kids about critters. Sharks are just sharking. They're not. It's humans that decide to do things for evil reasons or good reasons. Critters just do what God set them up to do. Sharks do shark stuff. I'd say a provoked shark attack would be you bring a shark on board, you caught the shark, you slip and your foot goes in, something like that. I think would be what they would consider the unprovoked shark attack or provoked shark attack. Unprovoked means you're swimming and the shark comes up and bites, which is what it's that usually. Here's the thing. The unusual thing for a shark is to bite a human, right? I mean, if you spent time in the Gulf, you spent time on the top of a tower in a boat looking down, you're in a condo down at the Gulf looking at the, when the water's clear on the beach, a helicopter flight over the beach. Lots of sharks out there. They're not biting all the time, but they're there because that's where they live. So the majority, it's not every shark biting people, but it happens, right? This texter says, is there such a thing as a provoked shark attack? Alabama does nothing to clean up a toxic coal ash pond, but spends money to alert people that sharks live in the ocean. Awesome. Maybe we should have a arsenic and cadmium alert app. Let's see. Greg said, the shark alert system is something straight out of Adam West's Batman with the shark repellent spray and such. I feel really bad for the girl, but there's always a chance, and simply think about it, and everyone should, about the numbers of people in Gulf Shores since 1837 keeping records for sharks. It's just kind of silly. Yeah, it is, but, we got the motivation, got the heart behind it, right? Also, it says, with Big Creek Lake issue, could it not just be offsetting penalties because it says to offsetting things and the judge just throws it out? Possibly. And like I said, Greg, let's add on that, that I think Shane Stringer is going to bring this legislation again back to ban utilities from water utilities from banning people from reservoirs. So that could be, see if that goes through. Jerry says, create saltwater license and use the Alabama Revenue Rangers to stop and check everyone on the beach and impose fines for swimming without a license. let's see. Who's the shark alert for? If I'm on my couch, it doesn't affect me. If I'm in the water, I don't have my phone, and I'm not getting the alert anyway. I guess their idea, and I'm trying to, like, I'm with y'all. I think they shouldn't have done it. But I think the idea would be if somebody gets attacked by a shark on that stretch of beach, the alert goes out and say, hey, there's been a shark attack. That's the way I understand it. So I get what you're saying. If you're on the couch, it doesn't matter. But I think it's true. If you're on the way to that beach or whatever. But I don't know what the odds are. I lean on my marine biologist friends. I don't think there's any way to do this study, but what the odds are of the same shark biting somebody and then going down the beach and biting somebody else, I don't think that's high. Unless it's the movie Jaws. All right, Butterknife said, Sean, after listening to your show today, I'm completely depressed to live in Alabama. I didn't want to have that effect, Butterknife. What is wrong with these Alabama Republican Party? From what part? Are you talking about the coal ash and all that? Or are you talking about the shark app? Maybe that's, you know. On the coal ash thing, too, by the way, Democrats are absolutely nothing on this. Nothing. The Democrats in the Alabama legislature are not some champions of keeping water clean. It just falls on the Republicans here. And the Republicans are at least talking about it when coastal issues and river issues, Republicans here talk about it. The Democrats have not. All right. Question about that. Is it 10 cents from the state and another 10 from the counties, or is it 10 cent total tax? Okay, talking about the vape. So here's the way I read it, Texter. It's going to be 10 cents per whatever milliliter. I don't know I have to go back and look at the measurement. I don't know how vapes come in, what amounts or whatever, but it's 10 cents per, I think, well, what is it, 10 cents per milliliter? It's 10 cents per milliliter. Okay, 10 cents per milliliter. So the way they have crafted this here is the tax is going to happen no matter what, right? So this 10% or 10 cents per milliliter is going in no matter what. If you as a municipality vote that ordinance locally, okay, then you get to keep that 10 cents. If you don't, the state still, that 10 cent tax still exists in the municipality. So if you do your own, you override the state and you get to keep the money in the municipality. If you don't, the state imposes this 10 cents per milliliter tax and they will give you some portion back, you know, kind of like the idea of like a gas tax or something. It goes up through the machine in Montgomery, and they cut you some back. It's the SSUT tax. You know, it's that kind of stuff. They take the money from the municipality, the state gets it, and then goes, okay, y'all can have some and y'all can have some. So they put a municipality in a really bad position because if I'm Mayor McCheese of Anywhereville, Alabama, and I say, you know what, we're not going to tax our people on this. I want them vaping the strawberry shortcake or whatever. I'm not going to pass that tax. The tax is still going to exist because of the state. But if this is Montgomery stuff, y'all. But if the state will pass, or the county, or the city will pass its own 10 cent tax per milliliter, then they can collect all of it. So they put the municipalities in a no-win situation. So when somebody says, like, because I mean, this is not just Mobile, Gulf Shores, elsewhere, this has happened. They voted it on their, you know, on their rolls to have it in their city, because if you don't, your people are still getting taxed the money and it's going to Montgomery and they may give you a little bit back. But if you put the tax in yourself, you get to keep 100% of it. I mean, it's just, thanks Montgomery. And the fact is, like, so many things, they did this with the CBD stores and all that. They passed these laws and then not even just the store owners on that one, law enforcement didn't know how to enforce the law. They do this stuff, and then all of a sudden it's panic time. These laws go into effect. I think if you pass a law in Montgomery, you better make sure you call every municipality that affects and say, here's what it is. You know, here's what's going on. All right, coming right back. More text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you all along. Saving the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Man, it's my buddy Trey. You see his trucks all over Mobile and Baldwin County. They're getting rid of problems for people. And it could be at your house, could be a storage unit, could be at an office. It could be lots of small things or just a few small things. It could be big things as well. And, because Trey reminds me to remind y'all, they handle big jobs. Like you've got, a storage building in the backyard. You don't want anything in it or the storage building itself. They can get rid of it. Above ground pools, big swing sets, giant trampolines. Those things. How are you going to haul that off? 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Plus, they can do the work inside your house, inside your wherever. You got junk, you want it gone, get it gone with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make an appointment. You can make an appointment today, maybe for tomorrow or next week. Get this on your schedule. They'll find the day that works for you, the time that works for you, and book a good old-fashioned appointment. So start the process today by just picking up the phone. The name is their number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Or if you want to stay online, like I do, 1-800-GOTJUNK.com. So check it out there. All right, let me try to get through more of these texts. I want to get another story in before we wrap up. Derek says, this ghetto blank state, or state, all these taxes and what? Can't even build a bridge without taxing us for that. Look all around us. Look at the taxes versus what they get. You say Goat Hill. I say Goat Blank Hill. Useless every damn one of them. So I'll put you down as undecided, Derek. Kenny said, the cookie store had a car go through the front window, but the store never closed. Laugh out loud. I've got an ex-sister-in-law that probably climbed over the car to go in and get the cookies. Oh, my gosh. You've seen, it's not, the car goes running through business window is not a new story. These happen with regularity. My friend Leanna did point out, though, that that's how the cookie store glass crumbles or something like that. Good joke. Let's see. This is okay. Hey, Sean, does he have three-wheeler e-bikes? Yeah, I don't know. I know that you can call down. Clint's got three-wheel bikes, the Amish bikes, as you call them, non-electric. I don't know if they have three-wheeled e-bikes or not. I tell you what, check them out on the website. Or, hey, Clint, if you're listening, just let me know. U.S. Marine Corps Mike said, you crack me up that sharks do shark stuff. Yeah, sharks be sharking. Squirrels be squirreling. Beavers be beavering. You know, dogs be dogging around. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. Steve, I don't know. Steve said, what about land sharks? Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything. I don't know. A land shark, I think, would be an unusual activity. Remember the old land shark bit? The younger people might not remember that one. Classic SNL. Land shark's knocking on the door of the apartment. They're trying to figure out who it is. And UNICEF calling. All right. This from unnamed texter said, start a shark jumping contest like Fonzie, and let's get to the bottom of this. Otto says, missed the discussion on bay dredging. Are they going to change the procedures? I really hope they will. Still not decided yet, Otto. You can go back and listen to the podcast as well from my conversation last hour. William Strickland still... What they have to do, which is ridiculous, but they have to green light the Corps to be able to spend the money to do up on site, to not do the cheapest way, which is to put it right back in the bay. But all these other places, all these other ports are already doing it. And we were doing it here for the longest time till they got a dispensation here over emergency, had storms and all that. They said, we need to do this for a little bit of time. And for the last, 12 years, 13 years, we've been on that exception. If we could just go back to the rules as before, we would line up with other places out there that are doing it the way, you know, we would like it done without putting it right back into the bay. Let's see. This from Daniel and Foley. So the people on the beach and someone is bitten will know from all the helicopters and emergency vehicles everywhere. How was the Alabama Yankee that was a good idea ferry for that? Only problem is with the supermajority state, we have no idea who is a real Republican. Pat says, ice cold land shark. Yes, might be near Beer 30. All right, thank you. Leanna said she did see the trike at Adventure Earth before. Is it electric trike or is it just a standard? Is it Amish or electric? Well, there you go. Thank you, Leanna. Answered the question quickly. Thank you, Leanna. Let's see. Duckman. What's up, Duckman? Says Vibrio or sharks? Yeah, how about the Vibrio alert? I'll have that. I tell you what, we'll pick this up on tomorrow's show because I don't have time really to wrap it up. But, you know, I think Jerry said something about the way the media had spun the story about the so Mobile County Sheriff's Office, this was it Tuesday or yesterday? I think Tuesday. It says, headline here from NBC 15, Mobile Sheriff defends deputy caught on video hitting Hispanic man during arrest. How about we just say man? But he goes through, if you go through and watch the presser. So they didn't just go up and punch the guy. Because when I saw that headline too, I said, what the? You don't get to do that. And so the punching that made it into a clip of a video that's been on, which I have not seen the video, the one that seems to be drifting around online. It's not the full altercation is what I hear. That, so the sheriff says yesterday, just quickly here, said it went to, they said a traffic violation, then a car chase, and then they arrested five people who ran from the truck when they pulled them over. And it turns out every one of them was illegal immigrant, undocumented. A sheriff says, and so they went into a physical altercation where he assaulted the deputy. This is this Castillo guy. Where he assaulted the deputy, grabbed him around the neck and in the vest, and the fight continued. A second deputy came in to assist, and they tried, and the taser failed. Now, I think I've figured that out. It's not the taser didn't work, but the taser failed to bring the guy down. They tried to use open-hand strikes to make him release his hand from up under the body armor because he didn't know whether they had a weapon or not. They then pried his arm, and they couldn't get it out, so they tried open-hand strikes, which were ineffective. And then, finally, a couple of close-hand strikes by one deputy that's not on the film, and then the second deputy did a close-hand strike to the neck and face area, which finally made him comply and remove his hands. That was the... So what people are seeing is like the... Didn't see, I think, in this clip, is what it's been described to be, is you just see the last punches and not what beforehand. So, we'll talk about this more tomorrow. Paul Feinbaum takes over now. And yeah, by the way, tomorrow, too... Get ready. Troy Carrico and Brian Battaglia, both warriors and the U.S. military veterans, are going to join us to talk about the meeting that happened earlier this week with the generals and admirals at Quantico, Virginia.